Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Chris Helio, fill-in producer extraordinaire. We're waiting for Steve to come into the Sunbury Motors Studio. It is the Steve Jones Show, right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome. If it's your first time, please raise your hand so we can see who you are. If it is your first time, you may not know the number, so let me tell you what it is. It's 1-800-795-9565. That's the best way to reach us here in the Sunbury Motors Studio. It's the Steve Jones Show, and he will be joining us momentarily. You can also, if you want to catch up on things, you can go to the stevejonesshow.com. You can check the podcast out and listen to past shows or this show if you call in and want to tell your friends about it and have them check you out, or if there was a segment you wanted to hear with a guest, and we always have tremendous guests here. Steve gets nothing but the best. You can also give us a shout, what you're thinking. If you can't pick up a phone and you get home and you had a thought, or you're sitting in a doctor's waiting room or something and you're listening on one of the many fine apps that you can get us on, you can shout at us on Twitter at Steve Jones, PSU. That's the best way to do it. This show is brought to you today by Purdy Insurance, and that brings us to our guests for the day. And in the 4 p.m. hour, we have Adam Purdy on. He'll be talking about the Purdy Memorial Golf Tourney that's coming up. And at 4:30, we'll have Charlie Campbell of the WalterFootball.com. He's going to be talking about the NFL draft, and that's probably the biggest story of the weekend locally. The list on CBS Sports came out of the winners and losers from the NFL draft, like it does every year. And luckily, your local team stayed out of both sides. There was no losers or no winners. So, I mean, of course, if you want to be on one of those two lists, you want to be on the winners list. But the Eagles nor the Steelers fell into the losers list. One of the things I did read was that if you're a Baltimore Ravens fan, which I know we have a few of those around here, your quarterback, Lamar Jackson, fell into the winners circle there because they picked up a bunch of wide receivers, apparently. So that's going to help that team out a bunch. But other than that, there was nothing really to write home about, a ho-hum type of draft for both the Eagles and the Steelers. Now, the interesting thing in terms of what we talk about here on the Steve Jones Show a lot, being Steve Jones being a Penn State guy, a Penn State announcer and whatnot for basketball and football, the fall of Dwayne Haskins and how the Giants are just the New York football Giants are being absolutely lampooned for picking Daniel Jones of Duke over Dwayne Haskins, the Ohio State quote-unquote phenom quarterback. So I think I'd like to hear what Steve's take on that is going to be, being a guy who has really seen Dwayne Haskins a lot over the past year or so. And it'll be interesting what he thinks the difference between Dwayne Haskins and Daniel Jones will be. I suppose time will only tell. If you have any interest in calling in or talking to us about any of these topics, the phone number here is 1-800-795-9565. Steve will be along with us momentarily. As I had said, we're eagerly anticipating his arrival into the Sunbury Motors Studio. So baseball tonight, let's see what's going on the schedule tonight. We have Phillies will have the night off, it looks like. So no Phillies here. Oh, there he is. Yeah. Thank you for joining us, Steve.
It's great to be here, Chris. The Phillies are off tonight. Good news. I think the Pirates are off too, which is really good news, so they won't lose tonight.
Right. After starting out so well, too. They had a nice winning streak a few weeks back.
They have to rely so much on their starting pitching, which, by the way, is very good. The Pirates' starting pitching is very, very good. The problem is the inability to hit. They have played, I don't know, how many series have we played now in this season? Eight of them? In seven of the eight series, the Pirates team batting average in the series was .243 or lower.
Yikes.
That's it. That's just not, it's not going to win.
Yeah, and the NL Central does have good pitching this year, which is kind of surprising considering, like even the Reds. Like, I'm a Mets fan. They're picking up the Reds this week, and I thought for sure we would annihilate them, and then I look at their pitching, and I'm like, what's going on here? NL Central's got some pitching.
Yeah, everything goes in cycles. Now let's get to the draft, the NFL draft.
Right.
I will point out... We'll start with this. We're going to have Pat Chambers on the show tomorrow. It is looking more and more likely, by the way, we'll see what Pat says. He may be cautious about this, but it's looking more and more likely that Mike Watkins will come back for a fifth year. Okay?
All righty.
Okay, so that looks like it is trending in that direction. You know, Lamar Stevens still has to do all of his workouts and so forth. And we talked about Rozier Bolton on Friday. Look, Rozier's been to, between junior high and high school, he'd been to five schools in 6 years. Okay, five schools, 6 years. So you do get concerned about someone's ability to stay in a place. Do I think he's a very good player? Yes, I do. The question I had about him in the summer was whether he had the ability to get his own shot. He proved to me during the course of the season he absolutely has the ability to get his own shot. He's a very good finisher around the basket with his left hand. Okay. Now, what does he need to work on for whomever he plays for? Well, he's going to have to work on a couple of things. Number one, he needs the weight room. And I've said that on this show 50 times. I've said that on the network broadcast 50 times. He needs the weight room because he's not strong enough with the basketball. Well, you got to be physically strong as well as mentally strong to handle the ball. And his problem is that he had a lot of turnovers because he wasn't strong enough with the ball. And the other part, too, goes to the right hand. He's a marvelous finisher with his left hand. But he does not finish well at all with his right hand. And as a defender, like any young player, he has to be better. So I don't know. So they've got to make up their mind as to what they're doing, but it sounds like they're trending toward leaving. Mike Watkins, though, is trending toward potentially being back for a fifth year. And as I mentioned a couple times earlier, they wanted it to play out. There's no pushing any way one side or the other. They wanted it to play out. Well, that appears the way it's playing out. Now let's get to the draft. Miles Sanders ended up going in the second round to the Eagles. That's a really good fit. I think a lot of us thought that that was a potential landing spot for him. He will fit in schematically with what they're doing. Sharif Miller, also a good spot for him. He gets to go home to Philadelphia. The Eagles are a team that they play their defensive line a lot of ways the way college defensive lines do. They rotate a lot of people, and they want to be as fresh as possible up front. They want to be as fresh as possible at defensive end. Well, Sharif Miller, you know, he might get in anywhere from 8 to 12 plays in a game, but they're going to be 8 to 12 plays where he can go all out. Sharif Miller may have left early for the draft, but I think Sharif Miller at this level, like Miles Sanders, Miles Sanders to me was not going to be drafted much higher next year. I mean, maybe be an early second, maybe a late first, but those are both big maybes. What did he end up, 43 overall? I think Miles Sanders, it shows that he made the right choice coming out. Sharif Miller ended up being the last pick of the fourth round. He made the right choice coming out. A lot of people thought he was going to be fifth, sixth, seventh round pick. He ended up in the fourth round. And he's gone to a situation where he can help. Connor McGovern, as I said a couple times, received obviously a good grade. Now he goes to the Cowboys, and this is where, with the Cowboys in the third round, he'll help them because his ability to play both guard and center, especially when you don't know what Frederick's status is after what happened with him last season, Connor McGovern's going to fit in with them right away. So he goes early, and that makes sense. Next up was, let's see, Amani Oruwariye. I was really surprised he went in the fifth round. Really surprised.
Where did he wind up going?
Detroit, which in terms of the fit and how Matt Patricia wants to play, Amani fits really well with Detroit. He fits really well with the Lions, with Matt Patricia, with the style of play. There are a lot of areas that fit just right for him. Personnel around him, it's a great fit. I was just surprised that he wasn't a third-round pick. I thought, the draft started in the fourth round. I thought he'd be one of the first 10 guys off the board in the fourth round.
Yeah.
Fourth round goes through.
CBS Sports said that was the best pick the Lions made, too, in the fifth round.
Again, the fit is really good. Schematically, what he can do, really good fit. But I just, I was just surprised that he lasted that long. Okay. Then Trace McSorley. I was on Sirius XM last week. I think it was last week. I've been on several times here in the last month. And I think it was last week I was on. And they asked me about Trace McSorley and where I thought he fit. And I said, if I had to pick a team where I thought he would fit, it would be the Baltimore Ravens. Well, they picked him in the sixth round. Now, why did I tell... I want to say, who was I on with? I was on with John Jansen and... John Jansen was one of them. Can't remember the other host's name. And they said, why Baltimore? And I said, well, here's the reason behind Baltimore in my thinking.
I could totally guess.
Hmm?
I could totally guess what your thinking is, but go right ahead.
Well, the thinking is this. They're the one team, because of Lamar Jackson, that plays that particular style of game.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else really plays that game in the league. If you're going to play that game, and you've dealt a quarterback already that didn't fit, by the way,
right?
You want to have three quarterbacks in the roster where if something were to happen and you're with the third quarterback, you're not shelving everything you've done and changing the offense Absolutely. In a hurry. You want three people that fit. So you've got Lamar Jackson, RG3, mm-hmm. now Trace McSorley.
Yep.
That was my reasoning behind mentioning that I thought Baltimore would be a good fit
and
for
And you're
him.
Spot on. And he's going to be able to develop, too. I mean, he may become a pretty good quarterback because he's got a good head on his shoulders that, you know, McSorley. He's always been good. He's a big-time quarterback. I don't know if he's a starter in this league, but he's a good quarterback.
He's a winner.
Yeah,
what he
absolutely.
Is. He's a winner and brings a winning mentality to the table. And, look, the expectation is do whatever he can. I mean, John Harbaugh's already mentioned about, look, he may play some special teams for us.
Sure.
Well, believe me, Trace McSorley will run down and play special teams
for
us.
He's a tough SOB, that guy.
So that's why I said Baltimore. And the whole thing about Baltimore was just about style of play. It wasn't about anything else. You know, that wasn't tipped off about this. Not, you know. I just was looking at style of play, and it said style of play, he fits with what the Ravens do.
Absolutely. Makes perfect sense to me. That's exactly what I had in my head when you said it. I'm like, oh, yeah, he fits perfect behind Jackson, without a doubt.
And RG3. Remember,
yep.
People forget RG3 is also
absolutely.
There.
But he's a toothpick. I mean, you sneeze like left towards him, and he's done. That's it.
Yeah, but so. You know what? But he does have experience of the speed of the league.
He's a great player.
He does have that.
He's a great player if he can stay on the field.
Nick Scott, there are enough pro scouts that come around, whatever, and I usually avoid them. On pro day, though, they'll come around, they'll talk, and a couple of them said to me, hey, give me a guy that's under the radar out here that we should take a look at. I said, sure. I said, Nick Scott. I said, why? I said, he'll be a killer for whomever gets him on special teams. I said, you guys are always looking for guys that you can get late-round value with that can contribute on special teams. Well, the Rams picked him in round 7. And I was listening to Les Snead, their general manager, today. He said, our special teams guy, and I don't know which scouts were here. So that I talked to so many different people that day. You kind of gets lost as to who you talk to. But their special teams guy said they watched the tape. They said they loved him on special teams. That's why they picked him. All right, now let's get to Ryan Bates and Kevin Givens. Ryan Bates, I am completely mystified he did not get picked. I thought for sure he would be a fourth or fifth round pick. I really was taken aback that he was never selected. To me, he's a football player. He can play multiple positions. Now, did he end up in a really good spot with Philadelphia? Yes, he did. He actually did end up in a really good spot in Philadelphia. Plus, Ryan can play both tackle spots. He can play both guard spots. And believe it or not, when he first came here as Penn State, guess what he was when he started here? Center. He was actually a center his first year here. So he could play all five spots. So I was really surprised. And even, you know, I know he went out early, but I understood why he went out early. But on the other side, the one guy that went out early where I sat back and said, what? Huh? Was Kevin Givens. And to be honest with you, when he announced, I just shook my head. I thought, that is a... I thought it was a mistake. In all seriousness, I thought it was a mistake. And every time I brought Givens up on the show, it was always like, well, he might be a late, you know, like a late round, seventh round pick. If anybody needed in that group to come back to school for another year, to give it one more shot, to at least give them an opportunity to make it in the league, I thought Givens was that guy. The other four guys, I know, McGovern, I could see. Miller, I knew, you know, I could see. Sanders, I thought there's no doubt he was making the right choice. And I thought Bates was making the right choice. Givens, I did not. I don't know who's advising him. I know what the coaching staff told him. I know what Brent Pry told him. I know what Sean Spencer told him. All right? Now, you get a grade from the league. First round, second round, go back to school. Now, if Chris Elio happens to be in charge of giving out draft grades, what's the last thing you want to be? Your reputation's on the line. What's the last thing you want to be? Wrong.
Yeah, definitely.
Because guess what? If you're wrong too often, you will not be wrong any longer in that job.
Right, because you will not have it anymore.
You won't have it anymore. You won't have the opportunity to be wrong anymore.
Exactly.
Let's say you told this kid to come out with a second round grade? What are you doing?
Yeah.
All right? So, in other words, they're trying to tell you, they may give you maybe a few extra guys a first-round grade, a few extra guys a second-round grade, but that's all they do. They don't want the draft overflowing with people that aren't going to be drafted.
Yeah, it looks bad.
Well, now, the next question is, who's advising these people? Who's advising these young people? You ought to go, you're great, you're incredible. If you are a first- to third-round pick, as I've said before, you have to play your way out of the league to not get a second contract. You have general managers who are bound and determined to show everybody they made the right choice in picking you, thus your odds of getting a second contract are better. If you're a 4-7 round draft pick, you've got to play your way into the league. You've got to do something in such a way where that first contract's over and they go, hey, you know what, through pure performance, this guy deserves another contract. So first to third, you got to play your way out of the league. 4-7, you got to play your way into the league. Imagine what it's like being an undrafted free agent. You got to play your way into the league every week.
You're right. Yeah.
And that's what Kevin's. I mean, he was picked up by the 49ers. Okay. But he's the one where I sat back and just shook my head and went, "Oh, you got to be kidding me." Why is he going into the draft? He needs to go back.
It's going to be rough. Some guys think they're better than they are. You know, you have to have
some people.
You know, you have to have that ego about you, right? But some guys, it's just too much.
Well, some people are also told they're better than they are too by outside influences.
Sure.
And that enters into this, in my opinion. Absolutely. But I thought of all the guys, he's the one that needed to come back. That was the one, but the only one where I called up Jack. I said, Jack, you won't believe this. Givens went in. Jack says to me, what? Now, I said something. Jack and I talked today, and I said something to him. I said, you know what? I said, sometimes, I said, being as close to it as we are, we obviously know more. Just by being there every day, we know more. Okay, so that means that's a given. I said, but sometimes we see all the pluses and we also see all the warts. I said,
right. You know,
I said, and Jack said, well, that's true. He said, actually, we do. I said, so sometimes we're more critical of guys, you know, in terms of like, you know, why, you know, he's going to go to the pros, but he doesn't do this, this, or this, but he does this, this, this. I said, well, maybe, okay, wait a minute. Okay. Maybe other people don't see what we see.
Right.
Because we see, because you know, in seeing all the practices, you can see, you know, all the pros and cons. And like, but he's one where the two of us were like, really? And I don't know. I mean, part of me feels badly about, I mean, maybe he makes the Niners, but I'm telling you, the Niners have a lot of people up front. I think it's going to be tough. But hey, he'll take a shot. We'll see how it goes. I hope he does really, really well because I like Kevin Givens. I like him. Okay, believe it or not, wrestling. Bo Nickel had a big weekend in Las Vegas. That and more coming up here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Boy, I believe Adam Purdy's on the show today, right?
He is indeed. 4 o'clock.
Finally, a team that appreciates what I can bring to the table.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Well, coming up a week from tomorrow, we'll be at Penn's Tavern. And getting ready for the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. Adam Purdy's going to be out at 4:06. I think the word has now been out that I was traded from the Suits team to the Purdy Insurance team. Needless to say, I'm in the mood to bury that group. All right,
you're gonna go against the suit, huh? Finally, head to head, mano a mano.
Well, it's going to be nice to be with a team where, when you miss the green, everybody's disappointed because now you got to figure out a way to get a score instead of hearing, this is awesome, it's chutter time. Like, okay, we missed the green. The best we can do is par here. All right? We're trying to get birdies. All right?
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you saying the suit is non-competitive? Is that what you're saying?
No, it's like the suit's all about him.
Oh,
it's all about whether we can use his golf club or not.
I see.
Whether we can use his shot. Now the conversion rate on this thing is mediocre at best. It's usually about one out of every three. Something like that. It's kind of bad. And like last year we were on the par three. I'm trying to think about sequencing here. Par three 11th. After the par five. And Craig Fogle's a very good player. Craig hit a shot, but he hit his left. You know, I mean, we all do this. Like, and I don't mean left, like he's barely left, but he's left of the green. Dave Ritchie was also left a little bit short. Okay. Kevin's was in Squirrel Heaven. I don't even know if we ever found that one. And then I hit mine. I don't know if it got hung up in the wind or whatever, but I'm about 4 feet short of the green, but I'm in the alleyway.
Okay.
So we're going to use my ball. Okay. So we go come over, and the first thing we have to hear is, it's chutter time! Even Sean's shoulders slumped. So Craig gets up and he chips it. It's a good chip. He's about 5 feet away. All right, not bad.
Okay.
You know, maybe four or five feet. Dave Ritchie chipped it, and Dave's about the same thing, maybe 5-6 feet away. Then Chutter Boy gets up there. And he rams this thing to the left of the hole, 10 feet past the hole.
Well done.
So then I went last, and I took out a sand wedge, and I chipped it to within 6 feet, and then we tapped in, we got our par. So in other words, we saved it.
Right.
And he goes, it was chutter time. I go, no. I said, see that chip? I said, that's called cheddar time.
I said, That's right. Well, I mean, I can't criticize. I mean, the story's funny. I can't criticize. I play like Happy Gilmore. I have a wicked drive, but my short game is garbage. So
yeah, but you have to understand, if somebody else on the team scores well, you're happy because it's a team score,
right,
correct?
Of course.
Okay.
Of course.
He roots for bad shots so he can use his golf club.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know. I don't know. Hey.
I've covered several U.S. Opens now in my career. You know what all the players have in common?
All of them? They want to win?
No, besides that.
Oh, okay.
Not one of them has that club in their bag. All right, so...
yes.
Chutter time, and then... As the round goes, we have to hear what the conversion rate is, and of course he inflates it.
Is it like sales numbers? Is it?
Exactly.
So,
where he'll say, "I've converted 4 out of 5 today." We're looking like 4 out of 5. What are you talking about?
What are these power plays? What are you talking about? So,
if we don't use your shot as the next shot, it's not a good conversion.
Yeah, no, that's, yeah.
If we don't use your shot as the next shot, it's not a good conversion.
Right, we're saving you. That's what we're doing. Right.
Help me help you. All right?
So, you become Jerry Maguire all of a sudden. Jesus.
So now I've been dealt to Adam Purdy's team.
Nice. All right.
I will miss the Chief very much.
Oh, yeah?
I will miss Craig very much. Great guys.
You're not going to miss Cheddar time? Cheddar time? Sorry.
Now, I've been replaced by Greg Wetzel, who I hear is really good.
Uh-oh.
So, I mean, Wetzel can play. Right? But I will not miss... I'm 5 for my last 6 on Cheddars. Yeah, good news. Go practice over at the windmill hole. All right. So,
before we move on from the draft, maybe you covered this on Friday, so this might be for my own good here, but what did you think about the Giants not drafting Haskins and taking Jones over Haskins, being a guy who covers the Big Ten?
I don't mind that Jones was picked instead of Haskins. That doesn't bother me. Jones has more of a track record and had less talent around him.
Because the Giants are getting annihilated, on every corner.
They're getting annihilated because they picked him at 6 and not at 17, and that's my criticism of the Giants. The Giants could have picked him at 17.
Gotcha.
I don't care what Dave Gettleman says. There are 2 other teams interested in him. Really? Find them.
Right.
I mean, it's like the time that Keith Jackson got removed as the play-by-play guy of Monday Night Football. Rune Arledge was notorious for not telling the truth. Notorious. And he tells Jackson, he says, Keith, I tried. Jackson found out through the media. Well, I tried to call you. I left messages. And Jackson took a stack of the pink message he used to get, threw them on his desk. He says, find yours.
Wow.
All right. He said, find yours. Well, that's what I would say to Dave Gettleman. He said, which teams were going to take Daniel Jones?
Yeah.
If they had drafted him at 17, I don't think anybody would have, they would have been saying, well, they'd have some questions, but because they picked him at 6, now, do you want to draft a quarterback at pick 6? Okay. So that's.
So do you think Haskins is going to be a good pro?
Haskins is going to need help around him to be a good pro. Haskins, when he is able to sit in the pocket and throw it, is a very good thrower. No, he's a good passer. No getting around it. But when he has to move to his left, now when he moves to his right, he's okay. When he has to move to his left, his footwork is not very good. He doesn't steady himself, and he has a tendency to overthrow when he. And I'm talking like, I don't mean run for your life going to your left. I mean sidestepping and going a couple of steps to your left. He loses his balance when he throws the ball. What did he say? League Dunn got it wrong or something like that is what he said. I watched a lot of tape before the Penn State game, and I did the Penn State game. The league did not get it wrong. Sorry, Dwayne. As an observer, no, the league did not get it wrong.
That's why we ask you, the great Steve Jones.
I'm not that great. But Jones, I'll say this, between 2000 and 2018, there have only been two quarterbacks selected in the first round that only started for 1 year. And those two are Mark Sanchez and Mitchell Trubisky. Everybody else that's been drafted as a quarterback in the first round happened to be multiple year starters like Daniel Jones.
Yeah, I mean, we saw what happened with Sanchez, and that wasn't so special, and the jury's out on Trubisky, so.
Right, and Trubisky, I think, is going to be a good quarterback. I think he's going to be fine. Sanchez really struggled a lot in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Haskins and Kyler Murray are both one-year starters.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Jones was a three-year starter at Duke who did not have around him anywhere near the semblance of talent, both up front and that receiver that Haskins had or that Kyler Murray had. Murray had, what, three guys in his offensive line drafted? Marquise Brown was drafted by the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, he had people around him picked. And when you look at Dwayne Haskins, Paris Campbell got picked. Terry McLaurin's joining him with the Redskins, for goodness sakes. Michael Jordan up front got picked. Weber got picked. I mean, these guys had a lot of really good players around them.
Oh, well, Oklahoma is now, I just read a whole article today about how Oklahoma is considered one of those NFL factory schools now because of this draft. Lincoln Riley's definitely, his stock is on the rise in a big way because of this draft.
But name which one of those guys he recruited.
Oh, well, that's a different story. I'm just saying. Well, he coached them up nicely, I guess. I don't know.
Right. That's my point. My point is you don't know what you have in a program until you've seen the full program. And I think we've seen over the years always a quick rush to judgment on people. Oh, Lincoln Riley, he's the guy. Lincoln Riley didn't recruit any of these players. Okay? He recruited none of them. Right. In fact, name the quarterback he's recruited that's a superstar right now. No, Baker Mayfield's a transfer. Kyler Murray, he's a transfer. Jalen Hurts, no, he's a transfer. So he's great at working with your stuff. We have no idea what he's like developing his own. I'm just being fair about Lincoln Riley here. And after all the years of doing this, I'm very careful about labeling who I think is a quote genius in this whole thing. I want to see what the Lincoln Riley program looks in year six.
Right.
I want to see what the Lincoln Riley program looks like when, hey, you know what? He recruited this guy. He sat out a year. Now he's going to have an opportunity to play. They brought him along. He's been taking some pretty good product, and he's been able to do a really good job with it. But the process was started someplace else.
Well, yeah. I mean, we'll have to see now because he's lost the two quarterbacks that, came from someone else, right?
Right. So. I mean, Brown, did he develop him? No. The offensive lineman, did he develop him? No. The quarterbacks? No. I mean, he coached them. He also coached them in a league where defense is something you're forced to play.
Right.
Because the rules state you have to.
Guys, we have to put someone out there.
So I'm not ready to anoint him. Obviously, he did a great job with Baker Mayfield. He did a great job with Kyler Murray. All due credit to him for the work he's done with each one of those guys. All due credit. But I'm not going to label him as a, here's the next factory. He didn't. Those are Bob Stoops guys.
Right. Well, do you even begin to look towards next year already? Like,
no.
Like, who's gonna tank for Lawrence? Is he going to come out next year? Like, what's going to happen there?
Lawrence can't come out next year.
What do you mean he can't?
He's a true freshman now. He can't come out for another year afterward.
Oh,
so
wow.
the first NFL draft that Lawrence would be eligible for would be the 2021 NFL draft. The player that would be looked at closely would be Tua Tagovailoa.
Right. No, I knew that. I was going to say that was going to be my second sentence. Wow. Yeah. I didn't realize that Lawrence couldn't come out next year.
He can't. He's a true freshman. He can't.
Huh. Interesting.
He's in the same class as Micah Parsons. Micah Parsons can't come out until 2021. So the only way I looked at the draft ahead of time was, for example, when Miles Sanders made his decision, I thought, you know what? Running back class is a bit thinner this year than next year. So I thought that would help him. I thought when it came to defensive linemen, I thought Kevin Givens should wait a year because I thought it was top-heavy with defensive linemen this year. That's the only way I looked at it. I looked a little thinner next year. In terms of guys making up their mind. And again, when I said with Givens, I mean, I was surprised he made the decision. I was not surprised he was not drafted. And, that's not being cruel. I'm just trying to be analytical about what I thought. Like, oh, man, I hope it. I was hoping it would pay off. But I have my doubts it would pay off. I got to mention the wrestling part because I promote it. Bo Nickel in Las Vegas won his weight class. And again, did so in spectacular style. Mm-hmm. Nickel's got himself on a really, really interesting path right now. Really interesting path. Zane Rutherford was the runner-up in his weight class. Jason Nolf lost in the semifinals on Criterium in his weight class. So those three gave a very good account of themselves, especially Nickel in Las Vegas. And they're all going to be factors moving forward. They showed that in Las Vegas. So that's great. And what's interesting is that in the world of freestyle, usually older wrestlers... It's actually an older man's game. That's the norm. It doesn't mean it's always perfect. Right? It's not like somebody younger can't win a world championship or an Olympic gold medal. It happens. If you're wondering about David Taylor, who is the reigning world champion, did not wrestle in Las Vegas, but he actually was there as a coach. Taylor's put himself in a really good spot, obviously. Bo Nickel looks like he's on a really good path. Nolf and Rutherford are both going to be factors moving forward in this. If not in 2020, then definitely in 2024. So if not Tokyo, then Paris. And usually, not always, but usually at the Olympic level, it's a, quote, older man's game. You know, it's between the ages of 25 and 35. Now, to me, that's young. So I have to ask you, okay, did you go see Avengers Endgame?
I did. I saw it last night with the kids, and tears rolled and hearts palpitated, and it was everything you could have possibly imagined in a superhero movie, an action adventure movie. It was a good movie. It was just overall a great movie. If you're a Marvel fan, definitely go see it. If you like action adventure and stuff like that, definitely go see it. If you could care less, it's still entertaining. Honestly, it's just an entertaining movie. You might be lost at certain points because you don't know the whole thing, but awesome movie. I give it a high thumbs up.
It made $1.2 billion.
Billion, that's with a B.
Over the weekend, a record number. Now, if you're wondering what the overall records are, I'm going to do this off the top of my head. I believe Avatar is number one at 2.78.
Not anymore, yeah. I don't believe.
Billion. Well, no, I think the overall. I mean, like, you put all the weekends together, not opening weekend.
Oh, okay.
This movie is the opening weekend champion.
Gotcha.
Avatar, when it was all said and done, made $2.78 billion. Titanic made, like, $2.1 or $2.2 billion.
Almost $2.2. It was $2.187.
Okay. Star Trek?
No.
I mean, Star Wars, made 2.1 or something like that.
The Force Awakens, that was the first one of this newest trilogy.
Okay. And then the Avengers movie last year, Infinity or something like that?
Infinity War made
2.06.
2.48.
2.4.
Yeah.
Okay, those are the $2 billion movies in the history.
Yep.
So I did pretty well off the top of my head here.
You sure did.
My screen is El Blinkeroni here. I have nothing on it.
Well, that's great.
Seriously, I don't. It's blue.
Nice.
Blue's not good.
No.
But
not in this case. It's not.
No.
Yeah. The most startling statistic I heard last week going into this was that there were 8,000 screenings sold out before the movie even dropped, like before it even opened. That's crazy.
It made $350 million in North America. It made $330 million in China. And it made another, $600-700 million in other locations around the world for $1.2 billion opening. I'm sensing that a lot of people that saw it are going to go back and see it again. So they're going to get a very heavy weekend coming up.
Yep. I know I'm going at least one more time because my younger two kids couldn't stay up that late last night. And my older kids went with me last night. So, and then my younger guys are going to go with me this week. So, yeah, that's going to happen.
Well, that's great. I've never seen one of them.
They're amazing. I mean, if you're into like action adventure and stuff like that, and you could suspend disbelief on certain things, if you're into whimsy and magical stuff, and, you know, then it's awesome.
People on this show have done that for years. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, Adam Purdy next half hour. Then it'll be Charlie Campbell, Walter Football, and the NFL Draft. Looking forward to talking to Charlie again. Adam Purdy. All I'll say is, Adam, it's great to be wanted. Obviously, my old team didn't appreciate certain elements. I appreciate you guys. It'll also be fun to go to the eighth hole where the bridge is and not feel like I have to duck for cover. All right. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com.